We're now in the fifth month on this beautiful theme, centering prayer. And today, our theme is going to be how to deal with the many distracting thoughts that come to us during our centering prayer. Because we have a constant stream of thoughts running through our mind all day long, it is impossible for us to stop them altogether. Even in our sleep, our imagination is at work, giving us thoughts, ideas, images. And it's no wonder then that when we come to prayer and we try to still our mind from wandering thoughts, we find this an annoying problem. It's especially during centering prayer that we find the great variety of thoughts that come to us a source of concern. And it's important that we know what to do about these thoughts when they come. We should be very clear about this way of dealing with the distracting thoughts. Namely, we should not suppress the thoughts that come to us, but rather let go of them as they pass through our mind or across the screen of our imagination. In other words, we should be detached from them. Now, that's different from suppressing them. Suppressing them would mean you don't even recognize a thought. At first, you have an impression that it's no, whatever it is, it's not good for me. Out it goes. Whereas letting it go is you recognize what it is, you see it, but you let it pass. Now, suppressing involves mental action equivalent to refusing to let them surface, not even recognizing their presence as if they did not exist. So let's look at the kind of thoughts that will come to us during centering prayer. First, we might characterize the most common wandering thoughts. These thoughts belong to that constant stream that pass through our minds throughout our day. They are like the many sounds, sights, smells that surround us all through our day. We ignore them. We go about as we go about our tasks, like the sound of automobiles right outside here. You hear all kinds of sounds, airplanes, children playing, music from radios, the rustling of leaves in the wind, the patter of rain on a roof, the many sounds, smells that come from a kitchen and spread throughout the house during the day. So it's not surprising when we begin to move into centering prayer that our imagination will continue to present pictures to us of what we've been doing during the hours before our prayer time. These images will carry with them certain feelings that may try to draw us out of our recollection in the divine presence. At such times, we should do just what we do about the many sounds that surround us at other times. We ignore them, go about our tasks without letting them distract us from our work. It's this ability to let go of these external sound distractions as we continue to focus on our reading or whatever we're doing at that time, listening to a play on TV, a movie, or listening to music or a conversation. The ability to be detached, to let the distraction pass by, but mind you, not suppressing it, or being aware of it, simply ignoring it, and paying attention to the divine presence within us. Just as we fully accept the sounds outside us, and then find that they hardly bother us. So, if we fully accept the distractions that pass through our mind in centering prayer, then we find that there's no problem, nor do they interfere with a deeper awareness of God within us. Now, it's important that beginners in centering do not become discouraged over the many distracting thoughts that will come. They should keep in mind that they must accept the fact that these thoughts and images will come, and they must simply ignore them, just as they accept and ignore the sounds and sights that come throughout the day. Yet they go about their work without being hindered from doing their work well. Now, I remember a time when I was given a new assignment to teach in a high school in Chicago back in the 40s. Previous to this, I had been living in a monastery in the Allegheny Mountains, where the silence at night was only broken by a stray animal wandering through the woods. Now I was living in a room next to a train station, an electric train station, a viaduct where trucks and cars were constantly rushing by through the night, and where people passed right under my window and indulging in all kinds of unseemly conversation. For the first week, it was impossible for me to sleep, until I finally realized that if I was to survive, I had to ignore all these terrible sounds. In another week, I was sleeping peacefully. While you mothers remember your children, stereos blaring and blasting, and they're doing their homework. How can they think? I guess they've learned to tune that out, although I can't understand it. The sounds were still there, though, and for the next 7 years, I learned to ignore them. The only thing I could not ignore were the many sounds that were right underneath me. The band room, when all the brass instruments and the drums that were part of the school band began squawking and rumbling, I ignored it with grim endurance. In the same way, there will be times when the thoughts and images that come to us during centering will seem to be a deluge and almost overwhelm us. We should not give up. We should use that ability to ignore them just as we do the sounds and sights around us at other times. Also remember that God will not leave us floundering without giving us some help. It would be well to ask for this grace before we begin centering, namely the grace to ignore distractions and to achieve that stillness that's so good for our centering. In time, the habit of centering will bring with it a certain mental discipline over our imagination thoughts. We will realize that we have the ability to be aware of things on two levels. We first are aware of the sounds around us, ignore them, while we are aware of God's presence within us. By accepting those distracting sounds, we let them pass. And at the same time, we experience a pleasant silence on a deeper level, where we are present to the Lord in our center. Now remember this: as we ignore the distraction or sound, it should not be with annoyance or a nervous worry, but with a peaceful acceptance of what cannot be avoided. Also keep in mind that we cannot make our minds a complete blank without any thought or image at all. To aim at interior silence does not mean a mind without any thought at all. At all times, there should be some awareness in faith and love of the blessed presence of God who indwells us. There are some conditions that we can create in order to create a climate of prayer. For example, picking a time of the day that is relatively quiet, when we will not be bothered by phones, radios, TV, other interferences that can be avoided. This means a place where we can be in quiet prayer. For some of you, that may mean praying early in the morning and later in the night when others have gone to bed, especially the children. Be prepared to be moving from interior silence to the distractions that you will be aware of, and letting them pass away while remaining patient, calm, and quietly using your prayer word to move back to the divine presence. Remember to develop that double awareness, the awareness of the images, thoughts, feelings that will surface from time to time, while having a deeper awareness of the loving presence in our deepest center, a peaceful acceptance of what we cannot remove entirely, like those frequent distracting thoughts and images. Another thought that will distract us are what we would call attractive, interesting thoughts and images. Thoughts like that can cover a wide variety of subjects, depending on what we are normally interested in as part of our profession, our relationships, a hobby, research. If the thought or image is sometimes pleasant, like a birthday celebration, a meeting of friends, a gift received, a pleasant trip to be made, an interesting breakthrough in research, our feelings and emotions may become involved. On the other hand, the thought or image may be unpleasant, like something hurtful said to us, a past event that was a source of much anger, hatred, unforgiveness, fear, or anxiety. As soon as we notice our awareness being directed to the thought or image with some involvement, we should quietly get back to our prayer word to bring us back to God's presence in a renewed commitment to a loving surrender to the Lord. Ordinarily, we are most conscious of what our senses convey, our eyes, ears, sense of smell, touch, and taste. Much of our conscious life centers around our sense life. But in centering prayer, we are beginning to develop a consciousness at another level of our life, our deepest level, that of the Spirit in its relationship with God dwelling there. This kind of awareness must be allowed to develop and grow with faithful, patient practice, along with assistance from the Holy Spirit. As long as we are even vaguely aware of the Blessed Presence, there is no need to be constantly repeating the prayer word. Only when a distracting thought or image pulls us away from that awareness. Now remember that nothing can take the place of the divine being within our spirit. Like, for example, a vision, a revelation, a delightful fragrance, a beautiful, profound insight about some divine truth. If God gives it, it will have an immediate effect even before we can do anything about it. But as long as we have freedom to act, we should never depart from God Himself and the Presence. In other words, we should let it pass and remain united to God in faith and love. In doing so, we are not being discourteous to God. What we are doing is saying that we prefer God Himself to His gifts, and this will surely please God. It will be one of the greatest acts of detachment we can exercise in our centering prayer, because the blessings of the Spirit are the greatest favors we can receive from God. About the revelations, insights, visions that may come to us, if they are of God, they will come back to us at a later time when we can truly enjoy them and use them as God wishes. And then there are thoughts that provide answers. When our mind is established in a quiet atmosphere, it doesn't stop working. Just as in sleep, while we are asleep, problems we have been thinking about continue to surface in sleep, and the mind works on them, and by morning we have a solution. So during centering prayer, this process will take place. For example, a priest may find that he has come upon insights that provide him with an entire sermon for Sunday. A businessman may find the solution to a financial problem that has troubled him for months. A housewife may have the answer to a cooking problem. A student may find the answer to a math problem. A teacher may suddenly come upon excellent insights for his next class on religion. The insights may cover all kinds of subjects and situations. What are we to do? The rule we have given about distracting thoughts applies. Use your prayer word, get back to the divine presence, to the God of love within us. No thought, however brilliant, can take the place of this infinite being of God our Father. Our centering prayer must not be turned into a kind of workshop to produce themes for another book, or designs for a house, or a kind of psychoanalysis of ourselves by digging into our faults, secret desires and passions, or a unmasking of our false self. Our prayer time must be a time for prayer. In other words, a loving relationship with the God of love, a communion with Him in simple enjoyment. If we allow ourselves to become involved with the thoughts and insights that surface, we will find that they also carry feelings and tensions with them, which we were letting go by the use of our prayer word, and now, however, are being subtly snared by them, and this is defeating the purpose of centering prayer, which is to free us from all tensions and images so that our spirit can be free to be present before God in as great a simplicity and detachment as possible, or, if you will, an emptiness that God will fill all the more quickly with Himself, and with that will come blessings and favors that are beyond description. As for insights, by letting them go, we are not necessarily losing them, if they are as good as we think at the time. They will come back to us even with greater clarity and more fully developed at a time when they can be put to good use. For example, when we'd like to share them with a spiritual director, a confessor, when we are actually writing a book or preparing a sermon, or counseling, or just sharing with someone, then we will have God's grace to use the insight at the right time with its full effect. I'd like to caution you about something that can be very subtle. We may be subtly trapped by the thought that I, by myself, can force my way into my deepest center. This way of acting involves a kind of nervous energy that is not conducive to restful prayer. Signs of it may be a feeling of tightness in the forehead or around the eyes or back of the neck. What is needed is to pronounce one's prayer word very gently and seeing it like a leaf or a feather as it gently and slowly falls to the earth. Our prayer should not be violent, involving great energetic efforts. It should be very peaceful. But what are we to do when thoughts come like a hail of meteorites bombarding us? Just let them pass, and for the time being, accept the fact that they are there, and by patient endurance, we'll find that they will pass. If there is some pain involved with all this, accept that too, as peacefully as possible, and try to be relaxed. And then there's the thought about how long to continue in prayer. A 20-minute period has been found to be good for most beginners. Less than that does not give them time enough to grow in centering. And in dealing with distractions and coming into a certain peace that is conducive to centering. More than that may cause some body pain for some people, like a half hour. So for them, 20 minutes may be their customary time for centering. But others may find a half hour is good for them. Still others may find that they can center for a longer period, like an hour. Longer than this may be forcing it. In time, our body will feel some pain just from being inactive. For example, recall what you do in sleep. In sleep, we are constantly changing positions because our body feels pain after a certain time. But it must be said that each person should feel free to develop his, her, or her own prayer time as long as they have God's grace to maintain it and have an attraction for that much time. A solution to give more time to centering could be to add 2 periods of centering with a 5 or 10 minute break between these 2 20-minute periods. Some writers suggest that during this break, they should walk slowly and prayerfully, and in this way, relieve the body's need for movement. But in all this, our aim should not necessarily be how long we can center. Rather, we should aim for quality. And quality comes from how much of God there is in our prayer, and how little of us there is in it. In a 20-minute period of prayer, 5 minutes of deep union with God after a time of patient waiting and use of our prayer word may be better than a half hour or more for someone who is constantly moving in and out of their recollection. Those 5 minutes are the important moments because at that time, God can bless and grace us in those few minutes far more than someone who may spend even 2 hours without such a sense of union with God. Each person must find out by practice and experience what his normal prayer period should be. And then there is what we call the self-analyzing thought. In our normal time of thinking outside of prayer, we are very much aware of our thoughts. For example, running a business, housekeeping, shopping, teaching, doing research, studying some science, planning some project, and so on. So too, in what is called the prayer of meditation, we follow a reasoning process as we think about the truths of our faith, or in another form of prayer, carry on an affective conversation with Jesus, or one of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. In this kind of prayer, we are to some extent aware of God, but we are very much aware of ourselves too, evaluating our thoughts and resolutions. This is a self-analyzing process. But in centering prayer, we are to forget ourselves and this process and focus
our complete awareness only on God within us. Recall the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with your whole mind. Note the word whole mind. But our self-love and instinct for being in control will not allow this to take place. Now that is tied in with our false self-image, which is not at peace unless it is in control. It has to see results and is production-minded. Whereas in centering prayer, we are not to be production-minded. Rather, we are just resting in God's presence in loving surrender, and our spirit is enjoying this peacefully. But the false self feels guilty about all this. Such a state of mind, namely forgetting self and being completely surrendered to God in love, is a gradual death to self, that is, to the false self, and it will not die easily. It will assert itself during our centering prayer with questions like, now, how did I manage to get into this peace I'm experiencing? Or, I wonder why distractions are so different today. Or this, I wonder if so-and-so is having the same problem I'm having. And, it seems to be better today than yesterday, and so on. Dealing with such thoughts requires the rule of using the prayer word to put aside the distracting thought. Such thoughts must be zealously put aside with the use of the prayer word. This will be the most frequent kind of thought that we will have to deal with, because it is tied in with our false self and our pride, which wants to be the center of things and not God. Here we see how centering prayer should gradually lead us to the death of the false self and the finding of our true self in our union with God. There we see ourselves as God intended from all eternity. And then there's the thought that has an emotional content. Here we refer to thoughts that are stressful. This does not mean that the other thoughts we have considered do not have an emotional content. All thoughts, to some extent, have some feeling attached to them. Here we are drawing a parallel to sleep and dreaming. Scientists have found that dreaming is very necessary for every individual, because it is a God-given way for each one of us to release the tensions that build up within us every day. If a person did not have dreams, after some nights, he or she might become a victim of a psychotic experience. What happens in dreams is also true of what happens in centering prayer. As thoughts, images, and feelings surface in our centering prayer, the tensions they carry with them are being released, provided we let them pass quietly in God's healing presence. If we allow them, or allow ourselves, to become involved with a thought and the accompanying tension, the tension will increase. But if we let go of the thought and feeling when we are aware of it and gently return to the divine presence through the use of our prayer word, we will find that the tension leaves. It's no wonder that those who pray, and especially who center, are in actual contemplation, experience a great peace and release of tension. They feel emotionally refreshed. Father Pennington has some reassuring words to say about this. Quote, God allows thoughts, feelings, memories, and images to flow across the surface of our mind during prayer so that He can use them to free us from built-up tension. The important thing is that we let go and let Him use them. In contemplative prayer, thoughts and images are no longer our business. They are His. We are all His. Let Him simply enter in and take over and do what He wants to do in our life and in our prayer. Unquote. For those who are just entering centering prayer, there will be an astonishing change in their mental attitude about prayer. Before this, they were accustomed to do a lot of thinking, sharing with the Lord in conversation, making resolutions. Now all thought of their own is set aside, except the simple loving awareness of the Lord and surrendered into His love. All other thoughts are set aside by use of the prayer word. Even our own thoughts, good as they may be, are also set aside. This is what is called dying to self. All thoughts are given over to the Lord to allow Him to use them as He pleases. In centering prayer, we do not label our thoughts as good or bad. We just let them pass from us. We do not moralize about them or analyze them. At all times during centering, we go beyond our thoughts to the divine reality within us. In this way, we move into greater freedom, a more simple and pure and intimate union with our dear Lord. Yet in the midst of all this, our thoughts still flow on, but we let them go, while we remain quietly united to the loving presence in our deepest soul. Now, thoughts involving fear. Sometimes, as a person grows in centering and finds himself going deeper into his spirit, there is a feeling of being weightless, of floating in a vast expanse, and there may be an attraction to keep on going. Just then a feeling of fear comes over us, a fear of the unknown, a fear of being lost and abandoned, or a fear of being too close to the infinite being of God. Fears of this kind are a common experience. This may be an instance of coming to an experience of self-forgetfulness. With some souls, there will be a sense of the divine attraction, giving them assurance that they are safe and in good hands. When this is not perceived, the soul may feel fear. Our imagination sometimes presents this experience like falling off a cliff, and the soul imagines it will fall 1,000 feet. But if only it will trust the Lord and step out in faith, it will find that it has fallen only 1/2 inch. Into the arms of a loving God. From now on, and more so into the higher levels of contemplation, the soul will have to move on in the darkness of faith with complete trust in a loving God who invites it to journey on a path that has not been experienced before. For each soul, the experience is different, but each of us is unique, and God meets us in our uniqueness. Sometimes a person will be abandoned to what is happening. Sometimes, as we move more and more into the unknown, like a vast space in the universe, that person may have some experience of what great mystics have called being lost in God. And yet suddenly fear overtakes him, and he draws back from the experience, thus losing a precious gift. If such a person can prevent the thought of fear taking over by not reflecting on the experience, but just letting it happen, or as we've said so many times, letting go, then he will find himself in a world of great peace, of joy and love, like he has never known before. The great temptation here is to stop and reflect on what is happening. This must be stopped immediately. All judgment and analysis do not belong here. Just being present to the Lord is all that is asked of us, and with love. What God may be doing is not for us to examine at this time. Afterward, a person might think about what has happened and perhaps try to integrate the experience into his daily actions outside a time of prayer. But the benefit of what has happened does not depend on our knowing about it. When God gives something in prayer, it usually has an immediate effect before we can even think about it. And without our knowing it, our friends and even those who don't know us will tell us that we look very peaceful and calm. There will also be a certain gentleness in us that we certainly did not have before. It will lead us to be more gentle with others, less angry and impatient. Strong feelings of fear, anger, impatience, distrust are greatly moderated through contemplative prayer because our spirit has constantly felt the loving experience of God within us. This, in turn, has given us a new sense of security and of self-worth. Consequently, we do not feel threatened in that self-worth when we are mistreated, misjudged, humiliated, or insulted. We will find that negative feelings like revenge and self-depreciation do not have any kind of hold on us because we have the assurance that God loves us and that there must be good within us, even much good, because of that loving presence. And then there are other experiences, like consolations. There will be times when there are great consolations in centering prayer, and at such a time, a person will be inclined to prolong his prayer time. Now, how long a time should be given to centering at such a time? The answer will depend on the kind of blessing one has received. It will be different for each person. Some may want to spend an hour in centering, or perhaps 2 hours under the impact of this experience. There's no strict rule here. Play it by the Spirit. This must be kept in mind, though. Are we seeking the consolations of God or the God of consolations? There may be some selfishness here. It is not more prayer or more silence that we're seeking in the joy of consolation, but we must try to integrate our prayer life and interior silence with the other tasks of our daily life. If we try to squeeze as much consolations as possible out of our prayer time, we may be guilty of spiritual gluttony. A surfeit of joy can bring on fatigue because our nerves are definitely involved in such an experience. When our nerves are at high pitch, as it can be in the joy of consolations, then there will be a definite experience of fatigue, nervous fatigue. What is needed here is discernment of how much consolation is of God and when it is our own selfishness that is trying to seek more consolation. Take what God gives, remain in loving awareness, but do not feed it with your own thoughts. If the consolation remains there, then continue to be open to it and just be with God in loving surrender. This joyful experience of God's presence within us gives us great moral strength and affirmation about our personal worth. What it tells us is that we are good, that we belong to God, that He loves us. This is what heals us of those many negative feelings that have been built up within us over the years, like being unworthy, no good, that we can do nothing right, being depressed, fearful, having bouts of anxiety, and so on. Here we can see how centering prayer is healing of our negative feelings and memories. And then let's consider the question of spending long hours in prayer and being too passive. Can a person who may spend 4 or 5 hours a day in centering prayer fall into a kind of passivity that makes him listless and without energy? Experienced writers on this subject say that would not happen, providing a person is really centering. In fact, such a person may notice that he has even more energy rather than less energy. because the quiet resting in inner silence before God releases him from the fatigue brought on by stressful emotions. Here I would like to mention Saint Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, the Carmelite saint, took on the work of four individuals, and yet she was deeply contemplative, and she wasn't that tall. And she got up about 3 o'clock in the morning, went down to the kitchen to knead bread, or the dough for the bread. She was also the novice mistress, had to look after the novices. She was also in charge of the infirmary of the sick nuns. And then there were her own duties, personally, tasks that she had to do in the monastery outside of her duties as novice mistress, and the hours she spent in prayer. And it seemed that she had endless energy. Again, St. Teresa of Avila, founding at least 17 cloistered convents throughout Spain, and yet being deeply contemplative. And a person like Mother Teresa of Calcutta now founded 200 convents and institutions, as well as not only for sisters, but for men religious. As a person prays, there will be an experience of a double awareness, one deeper than the other. Like, while centering, he will become aware of surface things happening around him, and within his imagination a constant flow of meaningless images, while on a deeper level, his intellect and will be deeply attached to God. All the noise on the surface will produce a kind of annoyance at such foolish thoughts and images as they are allowed to pass by. There will be a sense of deep attraction and absorption to the mysterious presence of God at the same time, but perceived as vague, holy, and wonderfully pleasant and delightful. Here we have that double awareness exercised at the same time. It is something like the awareness we all have during the day as we hear outside sounds in the street, and yet at the same time are busy in the house with cooking, reading, listening to conversation, or looking at television. We will notice sometimes that our time of prayer passes by quickly. This is a proof that we have been in deep recollection. We had no sense of time because there were few, if any, images or distractions at the time. When there are no thoughts, then we have no sense of time. We experience what is called timelessness. It is at such times that we may experience the feeling that we have no body, because we do not feel its weight, or even the fact that we are breathing.